Welcome back to Giant Performance. I'm your host, Tom Shea, the co-founder of Agile Media Group. Today, I'm joined by Ben Berman, the founder and CEO of Tomorrow Farms. Tomorrow Farms is building irresistible food and beverage brands that are better for people, kinder to animals, and easier on the planet. The first brand, Born Cow, is a new milk alternative made with real milk protein from fermentation. In other words, real milk without the cow. Ben, live from Expo East, the last Expo East, welcome to Giant Performance.
Very glad to be here. Every Expo event feels like a little secret community of the food world.
Yeah.
It's something that until you enter this world, you really don't know how chaotic it really is. So glad to be here.
Is the last one. I mean, when was the first year you came?
Depends who's asking.
Sure.
I did a few years with product my backpack, and I don't think I want people, at least I hope is listening, that I was here. This is our second Expo East where we paid for food.
Okay.
So not very long. The company hasn't been around that long.
Cool. All right. Well, excited to dive in. Let me quickly outline how we're going to play this. So as this is a podcast in a truck, there are going to be a few stops along this route. First stop is going to be founder stories. The second stop is going to be questions about Tomorrow Farms. And then we'll wrap up with stop three, which is what we call the hot box. It's our fun spin on the hot seat, a this or that style question game. So why don't we start with the founder story and let's go deep. Let's go back to like mainly burgers and, you know, back to the beginning. And I think, you know, what we're trying to pull out is what were the inflection points, what were the elements of nature versus nurture that got me to where you're sure that.
When I talk to investors, I always say, you know, I started my career in management consulting and I went to business school and I worked at Amazon on operations logistics. But I always had considered myself a food entrepreneur. I almost like didn't know what that meant. I hadn't seen enough people do it. It felt like something that other people did, but I didn't know exactly how you actually became that as a career, right? Now, when I was 18 years old, I started a food truck company up in Portland, Maine with my best friend growing up called Mamie Burgers. We were the first truck ever in Southern Maine.
All right, wait, so let's back that up.
I'm sure.
How did you get a truck?
Yeah, really good. Yeah. I went to Tufts for undergrad.
Okay.
My friend went to Boston College.
Okay, shout out. Go Eagles.
And we were meeting up once a month in Boston somewhere to like see each other.
Right.
It's college thing's fun, but I like my whole friends and, you know, see each other for dinner. And I just thought food trucks were the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
You know, I had seen restaurants. The idea that you were cooking really good food out of a truck. And in Boston, Maine's great. The food scene in Portland, Maine now is unbelievable.
Right.
But growing up, it wasn't what it is today.
Okay.
And so I remember there's a restaurant in Boston that's still around called Bon Me, B-O-N-M-E.
Okay.
The Bobby Sandwich. Awesome. It's like, Jack, you got to come check out this truck. Amazing sandwiches. Never seen this before. Everything about it was cool. They probably have a bunch of trucks. There's a restaurant now right by the Hancock Towers where I worked out of school. So I used to go to their actual brick and mortar shop too.
Yeah.
And so Jack and I were like, this is cool, and we don't know what we want to do this summer. And the options are basically, you know, I worked at this little tiny Italian specialty food store called Terracotta Pasta Company.
Okay.
In South Portland, Maine. Which is a great job. Stocked the shelf with frozen ravioli and pasta sauce. And then year two, they were like, okay, you can now grill the pitas on the fire in the back.
Nice.
And like year three, like, okay, you can do the register, maybe close up shop. You can do that. Or what if we opened our own food truck? And there was a beach in Scarborough, Maine that was privately owned but publicly run.
Okay.
Maybe the opposite. Anyway, we sort of took a shot with them and said, we're these 18-year-old entrepreneurs, or at least entrepreneurs in training.
Right.
We have this idea. We think we can run your concession stand for the summer. We're not just going to sell candy and soda. We're going to move a trailer into your beach and do burgers and sandwiches and french fries.
Nice.
And I think the guy that owned the beach sort of said, like, I see my a little bit of myself green, but I want to give you a shot. And somebody takes a bet on you. And so we cobbled together a little bit of money from friends and family and bought, we all put in a trailer. It was a 16-foot trailer with a griddle and a fryer and a refrigerator and a freezer and opened Memorial Day weekend. We installed a power outlet in a backyard, and we bought this old Ford F-150 off of a friend in landscaping. I'm sure they undercharged them. $1,000 for this truck, and off to the races.
Awesome. Yeah, I love the comment on people seeing themselves. They're seeing you in themselves. When we started Agile, this guy Bashar, who like, I'll spare you the details on how we pivoted this business, but this guy went so out of his way, expecting nothing in return. We didn't have to offer in return. And we've always joked, if we ever make it big, we have a list of shared notes on our iPhones of like people we need to make sure we hook up. Like, just send them from like something like, dude, thanks for helping us early, which I love.
I have a very core belief about business and all things in life, and it is on our weekly all hands slide on slide number one. And the belief is that nobody actually knows what we're doing. We all are just making it up as we go. And that realization has been extremely comforting to me over the last few years. We realize that all these other founders who you assume have it all put together are struggling with the same stuff that you are, and they're also just figuring it out one day at a time. And I think you need somebody to believe in you and realize, like, okay, I started to think when I was 18 too, and I didn't know any better, but you'll figure it out. Yeah. How much harm could you do? And like, let's give you a shot to do.
Yeah, I actually think that's like where first basis I got all my confidence from. I think you get into the real world and you realize pretty infinitely, like, okay, these people also are just like trying their best every day, and that's all you can do.
Totally.
And so they're just like you, and you know, the whole like superiority, you're like, obviously, respect the elders, they got more life experience and stuff. But
yeah, someone said to me the other day,
it's more accessible and reachable.
Yes, someone said, you have to remember that nobody posts on LinkedIn that three of my five top employees are the companies. You post the good stuff. You post our next set of stores they're in and the big hire they made and the holiday party where you have all your employees.
Yeah.
All
right, so why don't we shift over to good pizza?
So past work for business school, I had been on the road for 4 years as a consultant living out of hotels.
Where were you consulting?
I was at Deloitte. I was doing the big time. You know, I was fortunate there. I had a great group of people to support me. I got to work on really cool projects. I genuinely enjoyed it, and I'm very glad I started my career there. It taught me a lot of the skills that I think are foundational and necessary. Just think. Not you can't learn them in other places, but for me, it was a perfect training
program. Max, my co-founder, is like awesome.
It was a great training program for me. And when I ended up in business school, one of the things that I was excited about was the chance to be in my apartment at dinner time on a regular basis.
Okay.
Because I like to cook. As I said, Terracotta Pasta Company and Mamie Burgers, and growing up around food at home, I was excited for the chance to be able to cook for myself again. And as a consultant, you are not home often enough to really do large grocery shops and try out new dishes.
Yeah.
It's just sustenance after a certain point. You get really good at hotel room service menus.
Right.
Yeah. And so first semester of business school, I was here in Philadelphia, and I started making pizza from scratch as a really fun exercise for me. Like, pizza's delicious. I think I can make pretty good pizza. This would be a blast.
All right,
and
we'll have to revisit that.
And two, I don't know anybody here, and this feels like a good way to make some friends.
Hey,
you meet someone, hey, I'm having pizza party on Friday, come on over, bring a bottle of wine, and it was a fun thing.
All right, I like it.
And so I did this the first three quarters of business school.
Right.
And between quarter three and quarter four is spring break. I'm supposed to go to Morocco for business school, so you also travel a lot. And the day I'm supposed to take off my flight was when the world started to shut down. And literally from that day, you know, I canceled my trip, I decided not to go, and I never went back to campus for the rest of business school. What a totally change was my business school experience.
Same thing.
It went from super collaborative, super extroverted, ton to travel, to you're spending most of the time in your apartment,
right,
and maybe with a small group of friends. And so that very first week, I quite literally had a big batch of pizza dough that I was going to have people over. Let's do another pizza party. If we're going to be locked, let's do something. And it had progressed during that time to the realization that we probably shouldn't have pizza parties, at least for a few more weeks, or certain months. And it was like, but this seems like a bad idea.
Yeah.
And so I texted all the friends that I don't really feel comfortable having everyone have pizza. But you come over this afternoon, I'm going to make the pizza, and I will lower it to you out my window on Sansom Street, 8 blocks from my house. And so I made a
pizza of that.
I have lots of videos.
Okay, I'll make sure.
Yeah. And so I made 5 pizzas, and I cut them in half, and I wrapped them in tin foil, and I put them in a plastic bag on a piece of string, and I lowered them out my window. And friends loved it. You know, we were looking for something that was fun and enjoyable, and they started to take pictures. So I did it the next week. The next week, people on the street who are going for a walk with their kids and their dog were taking pictures of me. Hey, can I get one of those? So yeah, like, here's my number. Give me a call next week.
Put the pail outside. Put the money in here.
So next week, you know, it's my friends and these 4 people who I've never met before but saw us.
Right.
And it started to just sort of grow from there. We made a delivery system out of an old toilet paper box. And I bought pizza boxes on Instagram, on Amazon. Over the next 9 or so months, it sort of took on a life. And so at its peak, Good Pizza was a nonprofit that I was running out of my apartment. I would make 20 homemade pizzas a week on steel plates in my electric oven.
Okay.
20 on Sunday afternoon. I put them up for an Instagram lottery on Wednesdays. At its peak, about 3,500 people a week would sign up for the lottery for the 20 pizzas. Wow. I never charged a single dollar for any of the pizza. I bought all the ingredients on my own, and people started to donate ingredients when they started to hear about it. It went a little bit viral. It was on Ellen and Barstool and Good Morning America, the Today Show, and Food My Magazine. We raised well into six digits for Hunger Relief here in Philly.
Dude, oh my God.
Awesome. And now we're the culinary training program at Philabundance, which is Philadelphia's largest hunger relief organization.
Okay. Damn. Wow, I didn't know that part of the story.
It was a blast. It was a very fun time of my life. Yeah. I didn't have a lot of places to spend my time. I was in school, and suddenly my world shut down like so many people's.
Yeah.
And I feel fortunate that I was able to allocate that time towards something that was fun, doing good for the world, very tasty.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think, you know, my sister, she started her company at Performal NYU 2008. And like, you know, everything was going to shit.
Yeah.
And she was like, you know, starting this business, and it was a great feel-good story in a time where everything sort of felt like grim.
Yeah, I got some of the comforts that can put it together for something positive, you know.
Yes. But no, I think that's so admirable. All right, so I think that gets us quickly to, you know, present day. So why don't we get to stop to and talk a little bit about Tomorrow Farms and Outboard Cow. What was the genesis? How did you get involved in this? And I guess in your own words, can you explain Tomorrow Farms?
Sure. We think about Tomorrow Farms as the front end for the future. And the thesis there is that right now is a really pivotal point for our food system. We are at an inflection point for the technology that is available to reinvent our favorite foods. We at Tomorrow Farms work with a lot of companies that are building platforms for precision fermentation, recombinant proteins, cell-based meat, upcycled ingredients, on and on and on. Technologies that I think can fundamentally reinvent our favorite foods. We take a pretty simple approach at Tomorrow Farms. It says, I don't know any more than my grandkids are going to be able to enjoy chocolate milk and hot dogs and pepperoni and chocolate cookies unless we find a better way to make these products. Like, the math is no longer adding up unless we find a better way to make these products. The problem in food tech right now that we see is that it's largely bottlenecked by lack of commercial infrastructure. And what we mean by that is the vast majority of these quote-unquote food tech companies, which are unbelievably brilliant inventions and technologies, they want to be B2B ingredient players. They want to be picks and shovels and railroad tracks and Intel Inside. Somebody, though, needs to build the production and distribution layer on the top.
Right.
Somebody basically needs to build the next Unilever, the next General Mills that harnesses these next generation proteins and ingredients.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I remember being at Chicago, and to your point, there's so much like, you know, like the Argonne Lab and all these incredible researchers.
Yeah.
But they, one, couldn't, and two, had no interest in doing the like actual, like, credit to them for being self-aware, like, this is not what I think I'm good at.
Yes.
I'm trying to get back to researching. So I think it's interesting. And so, do you consider it more of a platform? You know, obviously you have a brand. And so I think we both have businesses that are more nuanced and deserve a talk track.
Sure.
So how are you thinking about growing this business? I get what you're saying where it's a front end for ag sciences, but how are you thinking about the future?
Yeah, we think about it as a portfolio of products. So we think about Board Cow as being our dairy portfolio.
Okay.
We can harness some amazing technology, in this case, fermentation-derived whey protein and the future casein protein, to be able to build plant-based milks and yogurts and cream cheeses and products that are real dairy, just made with other cow. We can talk about Board Cow and the technology behind it in a second. But at Tomorrow Farms level, the goal is to reinvent each aisle of the grocery store with amazing technology partners that are building those next-gen proteins and ingredients that can be sort of the hero ingredient in the products that we know.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't tried it yet, I mean, it puts Nesquik to shame, which I think you and I probably grew up on.
Yes.
With much better nutrition facts. Yeah, so I think that's a really great segue. I think the technology is fascinating. I also think no one knows how it works, or I guess the masses don't know how it works.
Yeah.
So why don't you demystify sort of the cutting edge technology that's included in the Board Cow product?
Yeah, compared to so many of the brands here at Expo East, we have the probably inenviable challenge of not only trying to grow brand awareness, but also grow category awareness for what animal-free dairy even is.
And retailers, like, this is a new category.
This is brand
like, oh, this look, this SKU is moving well from a competitor.
Exactly.
There's more space. It's like, hey, you really got to take a leap of faith here.
This is brand new. We're trying to convince people that this is the future of dairy because we think it is. We think lots of people will realize that it is. And we certainly need it to be in something, right? And so the technology here is that we are fermenting microflora to create animal-free whey. You can imagine a microbrewer.
Okay.
What we're doing is feeding basically the DNA sequence of cow's milk to yeast and letting them ferment just like you would ferment a beer or a loaf of bread or kombucha.
So just to make sure, they are extracting DNA from cow's milk.
They are actually not extracting DNA from cow's milk. That DNA sequence is available on Facebook Wikipedia. So it never touches a cow. It is different from cultivated meat in that way.
Understood.
Where you're not starting with the actual animal product. You're just starting with the ones and zeros that you sequenced a very long time ago.
It's like CRISPR right now, stuff.
It's not that close. Okay. And certainly from a consumer product standpoint, we don't want it to be.
Yeah.
What you're getting here is a technology that is used for many products in our grocery store already. The way that we make the rennet in our cheese is made through precision fermentation. The way that we make insulin is made through precision fermentation. You're just letting yeast ferment in a very particular set of circumstances.
Okay.
So that at the end of it, when you strain out the yeast, you're left with this very pure dairy protein.
Oh, okay. So it's essentially, there's like matter, and then there's a post-process where things are being strained, and that's how it's being extracted.
Exactly.
Okay, I was about to ask, how do we get liquid in this equation? But that all starts to make sense.
Oh, that's awesome.
What food science or technology are you most excited about now?
Good question. There are a lot of amazing scientific discoveries over the last 5 years in particular that have a chance to really transform our food system and reinvent our favorite foods. I'm most excited about this tech right now. I hope that doesn't feel like a cop-out answer.
Yeah.
But the opportunity to use precision fermentation to make a whole host of ingredients and proteins will be transformational for many products from grocery stores, inside dairy, and beyond. The opportunity that we have to build the fundamental building blocks of dairy without the need for any animal agriculture can completely transform the cost and scale and nutrition we can make those products. When we talk to retailers, we like to say, if you were to write an ingredient list for cow's milk, you could largely segment those ingredients into stuff that's useful for us and stuff that's useless.
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff that's useless for us. We put up with it because we like what comes out of a cow's milk.
Yeah.
If you really identify the core building blocks of dairy, it's going to come down to casein proteins and whey proteins. And we wrap those ingredients in plant-based ingredients. You can get to a milk-like poured cow that looks and feels and tastes and smells and acts and cooks and throbs just like real dairy milk, but has no animal, no lactose, and basically no carbon emissions of cow.
Yeah, I mean, the tech's so fascinating. How do you think about the sustainability element? Obviously, like, this is good for the planet, but do you guys do any work around, like, quantifying that and thinking about that stuff? So that's like a trend that's here to stay,
yeah,
for good reason, and the core value prop of a brand, you might
need. Yeah. I agree. There's certainly a big discussion right now on how much consumers are ready to make purchasing decisions just based on sustainability alone. And I think we're leading into that. I think we want to make a bit of a bet that people will choose products because of the sustainability, which is sort of going in the face of what a lot of people are talking about these days. But I think it's important that people make that decision. We do quantify it. We recently completed our ISO-aligned third-party validated life cycle assessment, which is a lot of words to say that somebody else did it, not us. So you can trust the data. And that life cycle assessment shows that compared to conventional and organic dairy milk, pork cow uses 96% less land, 67% less water, and produces 44% fewer greenhouse gas emissions.
The future's bright. So what's next for Tomorrow Farms?
What's next for us now is continuing to grow the Bored Cow brand. We're about 1,000 doors across the country, and we have some really big launches coming up next year. And as anybody who sits in this chair today would tell you, those launches take a lot of work and a lot of diligence and a lot of detail. And so a lot of our effort is focused on the next 12 months of Bored Cow's growth right now.
Awesome.
But keep an eye on us and Tomorrow Farms in the future. So we have some fun things cooking for products and brands outside of Bored Cow as well.
Cool. Yeah, definitely try the product. So, all right, stop three.
Hot box.
All right, you ready? So this or that questions, try not to think about them, just first thing that comes to mind, right?
Yeah.
Oakland or hot tub?
Hot tub.
Beach house or ski house?
Beach house.
Coffee or tea?
I don't drink either. I have no caffeine in my diet.
Admirable. D2C or DTC?
You've done the pivot, and we write DTC now.
Okay. Neat or messy?
Neat.
Corgi or Golden Retriever?
Golden Retriever.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
Tennis or golf?
Golf.
Pineapple pizza or candy corn?
Oh, candy corn. Anything but pineapple.
All right. Live music or DJ?
Live music. This is a tangent. I don't understand the DJ set.
Come on.
I know people love it. It's not my vibe.
It's definitely different. I'll give you that.
It's not my vibe. Live music.
Okay, got it. Advertisement or advertisement?
Advertisement.
Let's see. Sweet snacks or salty snacks?
Salty.
Okay, call or text?
Good one. Text.
Okay, reading or writing?
Reading.
Work remote or work on site?
Can I talk about our policies? I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, go
ahead. Can I plug our
work? Yeah, please, do.
We're excited about this. I don't think I've talked about it publicly before.
No, I don't know.
We launched a policy last year for the team that is solidified now. We are in the office as a team Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays.
Okay.
Every single week in New York City.
Yeah.
Whole team is based in New York for the 3 days a week. And we admitted to ourselves early on that on a day-to-day comparison, you working from our office for Tuesday versus working from home, we are willing to believe that you will be more productive on a single day working from home than you will be having to commute to the office. I agree with that premise. I do, however, believe that communication flows more easily, you feel more connected to your job, and that on aggregate, you can get more done as a team when we are in the same place.
100%.
In that return to office policy, though, we enacted 10 remote weeks as a team per year. The 2 weeks around July 4th, the entire month of August, the week of Thanksgiving, and the 2 weeks around Christmas.
Okay.
And we told people, you can plan ahead. These are 10 weeks. If you're going to work internationally, you don't tell us, but you are allowed to for the week of August. And that hybrid solution has seemed to solve a lot of that problem.
I love that. I'm going to absolutely.
We think it's a great policy. We give people actually 4 floating remote weeks during the year as well. I grew up in Portland, Maine, as you talked about. And I wanted a policy that says, if you have weekend weddings, back-to-back weekends, I don't want to be the company that you feel like you have to drag your butt back to New York for 3 days in the office. But as a default, we are there working together, enjoying our time together 3 days a week.
Yeah, I think what's been challenging for us is like, you know, people have family vacation stuff, so they're gone for a week. And then I'm in the office, and then like,
there's no
one here. I'm in the office. No one's here. So
the 10 weeks help solve a lot of that.
Right.
Exactly. People ahead of time plan their vacations for the month of August. We all did it together.
Cool. All right. Back to the game.
Yeah.
Twitter, LinkedIn, Instagram, or TikTok?
I'm bad at social media in general. My team is really trying to get me better on LinkedIn. So
okay. All right. Call them on LinkedIn. Dancing or people watching?
People watching.
Cocktails or beers?
Not a big drinker, but cocktails.
Feel too hot or feel too cold?
Too hot. And the only way to feel too hot is when you live with someone, my girlfriend in this case, who always feels too cold. I don't think you actually find someone who doesn't feel the opposite.
They just... It's always the opposite. All right, I probably know the answer to this one. Give up bread or give up cheese?
Wow, a much harder question than you think of.
Really?
I know I'm in the dairy space, but bread is my single favorite food.
Okay.
If you ever want to tempt me with something, a nice loaf of bread, it's going to be a thing. So I have to
give up cheese.
I would give up cheese.
Wow,
first.
I know. Hard answer.
I know.
Board games or video games?
Board games.
$50 on red or black?
We'll go black.
Start early or leave late?
Start early.
Fiction or nonfiction?
I've been trying to read more fiction. I think it's settling. I think it's good to close the night with something.
It opens your mind a little bit.
Yeah, something more creative.
Yeah. All right, Rich and Famous or Rich and Anonymous?
Rich and Anonymous.
Playlists or podcasts?
See, Famous doesn't seem that good.
See, well, I mean, you're right, but listen to season one. We got some interesting answers.
I believe it. I understand why people like it, but it feels better to be able to.
Yes, absolutely.
Get under the radar.
Playlists or podcasts?
I have a bit of a podcast addiction.
It's sort of gross.
It's bad. When you see your speed multiple going up, you know you have a bad problem.
Yeah, just like, how do you get more speed on it?
Yeah, inject this directly into my brain.
All right, wrapping up here. Speak to animals or speak 10 languages?
Speaking 10 languages can be really good. Not speaking animals would be, but...
All right, telepathy or teleportation?
Teleportation.
Trucks or billboards?
Trucks.
All right. Receive good news or bad news first?
Bad news always first.
All right. Well, the bad news is, we've come to our final stop.
Thank you.
Yeah. thanks for joining us. This was a lot of fun. I want to wrap up by giving you an opportunity, a chance to plug yourself, plug Tomorrow Farms. Where can people find you online? Where can people find you in store?
Yeah, best place is to go to our website for Bored Cow. It's tryboredcow.com. Store locator on the page that is always up to date, so you can see where we are located near you. We also sell the product online, so you can try some today. Check us out on LinkedIn. Follow me at on LinkedIn. You can see what we're up to tomorrow.
Yeah, you're going to post more, right?
I'll post more. All right, that's your app. Thanks, all. Let's go.